with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dan Hurley said it best, we won by a lot again. That being the UConn Huskies, who win back-to-back national titles, the first team to do so since Florida in 07. As we welcome you into hour two of the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network, this show, as always, presented by DraftKings. I'm Stormy Bonantoni alongside Will Hill, in for Michael Lombardi today, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. You can also catch him as a member of the gambling group chat on Fox Sports Bear Bets podcast with Chris Felica. And you cashed a number of futures, but I know you're kicking yourself a little bit for the Purdue plus seven bet after what we saw in the second half last night.
Yeah, always kicking myself. I'm just never happy. Wish I bet more, wish I bet less, wish I'd bet at all. I mean, just it's part of the life of being a bettor. And Tony, we sat here and we talked about the under too. I was like, that's probably my favorite way is to play this under, but I didn't get the best of the number. I was actually on air when that Final Four game ended against Bama. So it went like open 148.5. It was gone right away. Then I was like, oh, I don't want to play 146. I don't want to play 145. And it closed, I don't even know where it closed, 143 or
143.
Something going under. Yeah. And it wasn't even close. I mean, I guess there was a little tension at the end where if they kept fouling, maybe you could get there. But those games that are 15, 20 point games, they just usually kind of die. There's no fouling at the end where you get the, you know, the BS 12 or 15 points. So the under was it was a dead nut under. Both teams played slow, played through the post. And hey, when you're only gonna make 1-3 and you're only gonna shoot 1-7 from three, yeah, it's hard to go over. So look, I thought Purdue would be more competitive. I thought they'd take care of the glass more. 14 offensive rebounds for UConn. UConn is just an absolute freight train of a team, of a program. They are just, they were more athletic on the wings. They look, Edie got his, but Edie, you know, they didn't have to double him, so that left the 3-point shooters covered. And UConn's 1-4 was just much better than Purdue's 1-4. And give him credit. I know, you know, Stuckey, who I've had on my podcast, he's been on this network a lot, works for Action Network. He was talking about UConn. He kind of reminded him, he said, of 2019 LSU, where sometimes there's a team that the numbers just can never catch up to. You can never make the number high enough. As efficient as these numbers are, they're not perfect, and these numbers could just never catch up to UConn. They not only cover every game, but they cover every game by such a wide margin where they basically just always double the spread. LSU was like that. This UConn team's like that. So congrats to UConn. This is one of the all-time great runs when you go back to last year, 12 in a row against the spread. And anyone that just says, hey, I'm going to keep betting UConn and rolled it over, man, you had a hell of a time here the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, this spread has been inflated every step of the way.
Yeah.
KenPom, we talked about it yesterday on the show, had this game 3. It was moving around between 6.5 up to 7.5. No matter what you put on this team, it doesn't matter because they're going to win by double digits. In fact, dating back to the start of last year's tournament, they're going to win by at least 13. The average margin of victory was like 23 points per game. It's just, it's insane what they've been able to do week in and week out of this tournament. Every single game, they've been dominant. And even when it looks like for however brief the sliver of moment is in time is that you're going to have a competitive game like we saw in Alabama where, you know, it's a tie game with 12 minutes to go, doesn't matter because they're going to find a way to pull away. And yep. Dan Hurley talked after the game yesterday about the game plan that they put together to defend Edie and this Purdue Boilermaker squad.
You know, just the game plan and Luke, you know, Luke for a day and a half prep, to have us as ready as he did defensively for that game was just impressive. We obviously, you know, we didn't want to give up threes. We didn't care if Zach, you know, took 25, 28 shots to get 30, 35 points. This whole game plan was like no Smith, no Lawyer, no Gillis, no Jones. You know, keep that collective group under 18, 20 points as a group. They had no chance to win.
The Luke he's referring to, by the way, Luke Murray, assistant coach, son of Bill Murray, who is out there in attendance at the game. Edie ended up getting more than 30, 35. He had 37 and 10 in the game. But to his point about not wanting to give up threes, they didn't. Purdue, a team that averages making 8 per game and 20 attempts per game, had just 1 of 7 from 3-point range. Their assists, they had more turnovers than assists in this game. It was just, they did a masterful job defending the Boilermakers. The one question I do have to you, because we didn't talk about this in hour one, most outstanding player ends up going to their All-American guard, Tristan Newton. Cash is plus 425. We talked a lot about it could really go to any of these UConn guys. All 5 of their starters ended up in double figures. He just had the most of the bunch with 27 assists, 5 rebounds. But because this is a tournament award and Edie was awesome every single game, did this kind of feel like this was one where the guy from the losing team maybe should have one most outstanding player? Because it's not most valuable player, right? It's most outstanding for a reason. And he was awesome every game of the tournament.
Could you make a reasonable case for that? Absolutely. We don't do that anymore. I think of the 2015 NBA Finals when LeBron was basically just like a walking triple-double. Irving was hurt. Love was hurt. And he carried them somehow to a sixth game. He was by far, I thought, the best player in that series. And he got a couple votes, but he didn't win. We don't do that anymore. There's no more Chuck Howley winning Super Bowl MVP of a losing team or Jerry West losing player on an NBA Finals team winning MVP. It's just, that's not our culture anymore. That's not our society. I don't know, for whatever reason.
But should it be? Like, is that a conversation we should be having?
I remember thinking LeBron should have gotten it. So I don't know if I would have voted Edie. I thought he got tired last night. I thought, we talked about that stretch when it was 23-all, which was the infamous score against Illinois when UConn went on that crazy 30-0 run. 23-all, UConn, Purdue. Purdue's in decent shape. 6.5 minutes left in the half. And Edie didn't score the rest of the half. And UConn got up by six. You could have made a case for giving it to him. I really didn't think there was a reasonable chance that Edie was going to get it on a losing team. Give credit to the Bear. Chris Felica came on my podcast Sunday night, Monday, and said, hey, if I had to bet someone for most outstanding player, he'd bet Newton. I don't remember if he actually went through with that bet, but that was a good call by him. It was a bad call by me, too, thinking Klingon going against Edie was going to get his, because he just, he got shut down. He only had 11 points. His box score wasn't that great, and Edie got his points, too. So one thing I did want to go back to, though, which I think is interesting, I was on a day or two after the selection, and one of my big things was like, the committee did a terrible job. How can you put Virginia in? How can you leave these Big East teams in? Leave these Big East teams out. Big East only got three teams. Mm. UConn lost seven games last year in the Big East, and they lost two games this year in the Big East. Seton Hall beat them, and Creighton beat them. St. John's took them to the wire basically three times. We should have probably had more than three Big East teams, because if there are teams in that conference that can beat UConn, you know what? This is a pretty good conference. They clearly have by far the best team in the Big East. They probably deserve more than three teams this conference did.
It's a great point. And Will, I know this is a terrible comparison, but it's the one that comes to mind to me, how San Diego State went on that awesome run last year to make a national championship. I think the Mountain West got a ton of respect this year, and they got a bunch of teams in. And I think this tournament, after seeing the Big East get dogged essentially the way they did, and these teams that were on the cusp being held out, that we're going to see that transition next year, and the Big East will get way more teams in, especially after you see Seton Hall go out and win the NIT as well. So you have two national champions, right, that win.
And St. John's had the lead against UConn in the second half of both of the regular season games. Remember that Friday night, early evening, late afternoon game in the Big East tournament, where I think it was like 90-85 final. St. John's wasn't going to win, but they were, they went toe-to-toe. Like, a lot of these teams in this tournament couldn't do that. I know we don't give credit for losing, but they went 0-3 against UConn, but they played three really competitive games. I think, committee did not do a good job, but if they had a do-over, if you had a different committee, you have to give a little more respect to the Big East when you look at how dominant UConn was. And it's crazy to think UConn has lost 9 conference games the last 2 years. They get to these NCAA tournaments and nobody can put a glove on them. It's really remarkable.
It was an interesting comparison, too, this year with the men's and women's tournament, because you see – it doesn't always happen this way, right? Where the most dominant team, the best team in the regular season, ends up winning it all. But we saw that on both sides with UConn and South Carolina. UConn finishing the year with the nation's best scoring margin, most efficient offense in the country, top 5 defense, and they go all the way. And if you are Bruce Pearl and Auburn, how much are you just livid at the way you ended your season round one against Yale and don't even give yourself a chance to go toe-to-toe with UConn and make that side of the bracket hard for them, because it basically ended up feeling like a walk in the park with them to the Final Four?
Yeah, and look, they lost to Yale, and Yale got buried by your San Diego State team, so maybe it wouldn't have mattered. And it's funny, we talked about after the bracket came out, this is a gauntlet for UConn. UConn got a raw deal, and nobody came within 13, 15 points of them. I think, 15 points was last night, their closest game.
Yeah.
I know Northwestern in some garbage time got close to like 17, but not only do they win, not only that, they cover, none of these covers are even doubt. You figure the cover would at least be in doubt, where, I guess Bama was on Saturday night, but for the most part, man, they are just trucking these teams.
Unbelievable. Looking ahead to next year, though, now we gave you the stat earlier about the only team to three-peat in the men's game being UCLA when they won 7 straight under John Wooden in the 60s and 70s. So this is something that does not happen in the men's tournament. But UConn is the second shot on the board. to do it next year. Duke is a 10-1 favorite. Kansas and North Carolina both 14-1. I know it's way too early to even have this discussion. We don't know what's going to happen in the transfer portal. We don't know who's coming back. We don't know what these prospects are going to be like. But on paper, belief in Dan Hurley and the UConn Huskies, it's hard not to have it.
It is, but they're probably going to lose Kling. I mean, they're almost certainly going to lose Kling, sure. And they're almost certainly going to lose Castle, who I think will be a good NBA player, probably better than Kling, too. Is that like as dominant as Kling is in the pros? I don't know if he's got the foot speed. I don't know if he can shoot enough to be an effective NBA player with the way that game is all about spacing and everything. Caravan, maybe he's a second rounder, so maybe he comes back. There's some of these guys that are on the fringe, so we'll see. I wouldn't be rushing to take 12-1 unless I start to see, hey, that's one of those things where you can monitor the news and start to get a feel for who's coming back and who's not, and maybe. You know, the book doesn't react in time, and you can, if you're hell bent on betting UConn and you want a piece of it, maybe you wait and see who they're getting, who they're losing, because there's just so many moving parts here.
Like for me, I don't know what your approach necessarily is to markets like this, but unless I'm the fan of a team, I'm not betting anything this early. There's no reason to, unless you know something that a team's going to land this amazing guy and you see a big number right now. There's just no reason to at this point.
Or if you jumped on Arkansas when Calipari was going there, you figure, hey, Calipari basically puts a top 5-10 team anywhere, and you can got the 70-1. I know it's 40-1. That's you're beating the book to the punch. I get that, but other than that, it's especially 12-1. It's okay. I'm not.
Will, we talked about that yesterday, like how that was one of those unique situations where there was no leak. Like nobody heard anything to my knowledge. Imagine having that knowledge in your back pocket.
Right.
Ooh. Although Cal teams don't seem to get out of the first round of the tournament anyway, so who sees? We're going to hit the break here when we come back. We've got a little this or that. A would you rather situation, if you will, in the betting markets. We'll be right back. Will loves my games. For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. All sports, take advantage. This is a limited time offer. VSiN.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 week access to VSiN betting splits. Rolling along here on the Lombardi line. Stormy Bonantoni and Will Hill with you. Will, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. You can download wherever you get your podcast, which I know you had an episode out earlier this week previewing the national championship. When's the next one coming, Will?
Tomorrow, the great Matt Eumanns will be on. Ooh. Break down the Masters, go over a little NFL draft. So, yeah, excited.
Perfect. And we will get into a little NFL draft conversation in a NFL draft conversation and Masters talk here in a bit. But I was just looking at a clip on Twitter during the commercial break of Dan Hurley on the Pat McAfee show talking about all the things and the talk about Cal moving on from Kentucky, going to Arkansas, and with that being an opening and stuff. And he said that his phone broke on Saturday. So immediately when like all of this news was starting to trickle out on Sunday, like he didn't even know that was a thing right away because nobody could call him. His agent couldn't call him. Nobody could text him or anything like that. And so the only time that he really knew about it was when he like saw on TV and was talking to people in person. So that's definitely a very unique scenario. And after the game, he said his agent probably hated that he even made any answer whatsoever, but he was already looking ahead to next year and where the East region's going to come out of in the Final Four and a lot of places that UConn would have favorable fan attendance.
Yeah, and so next year it's the East Regional. Wow, he's already looking ahead to that. I did see the quote after the game where somebody asked him how he's going to celebrate, and he said him and his wife are going to sit on the hotel floor and get hammered. So that's always
my kind of guy, man after my own heart. We do have a little fun game here, Will, and I know that this is both your favorite and least favorite thing to do when you're on shows with me every single day.
You do this at home.
I don't. No, I save it for television.
Chicken or fish? What's for dinner? Door A or door B? Everything's a game with you. I'm ready to play.
So here's the thing. So actually, that is a great point because I kind of am like that. I am very indecisive. I'm not a good decision maker in my day-to-day life, especially when it comes to food. So I am a narrower downer. So I give like two options or three. Maybe we're finding something out about me. I need to go to therapy to analyze this a little bit deeper. But that is the game that we're going to play here called This or That. and it's an NBA playoffs and draft edition. So I'm going to give you two props that are worth essentially the same value, one that is NBA related, one that is NFL draft related, and you tell me, would you rather bet one or the other? Sound good?
I guess, sure.
You see, come on, get on board, man. Starting
Let's do it.
With
no, I'm excited. Let's go.
Steph Curry to win NBA clutch player -160, or Dallas Turner to be the first defensive player off the board -170, equal value.
I'll go with Curry. I think people like Curry. It's a way to give him an award. I will go. I'll go with Curry here. I don't feel comfortable with any of the draft info. I don't remember if this was on the air or off the air. We were talking about how last year everyone, there was like nine different guys that were going to go to. None of them were Stroud, and Stroud and them going to. So I don't trust any of the draft info. I'll go with Curry, which I admit, Clutch Player of the Year is a very obscure award, but I'll go with Curry. A tentative vote for Curry.
Okay, next one. Naz Reid, Sixth Man of the Year, -105, or Brock Bowers to be drafted in the top 10. And I know this one is you're dialed up in because we talked all about the Jets and what they might potentially do with that number 10 overall pick.
I'll go with Naz Reid just because I think Monk has missed just enough time at the end of the year, and he's the other candidate here with Sixth Man that it'll go to Reid. I don't know if the Jets don't take Bowers at 10. Like I don't see any of those other teams in the top 9 taking Bowers. Just the value of that position, it comes down to, will the Jets take him or not? And we both kind of agree, hey, it could be an offensive lineman. If it's not an offensive lineman, maybe it's one of those receivers if they flip. So I'll go with Naz Reid here.
Which, again, I do think is good to reinforce because we both agree on that thought process that it's either the Jets at 10 or he's going out of the top 10, that yes, it's going to be a better bet if you do like Brock Bowers to be selected instead of taking him top 10 to take him to go to the Jets, or for the Jets to take a tight end would make more sense.
Plus, maybe the Jets say, hey, we like Bowers, but we think we could trade down, get a few more picks, and maybe we still get him at 13 or 14. And if we lose him, it's not the end of the world for us. So Jets could still get him, but he might not go 10. He might go to the Jets at 13 or 14. Remember, there's not a lot of moving parts with this draft stuff.
Good point. And that price, by the way, around +125-ish, depending on what book you're looking at here. Let's go back to big picture NBA. The Denver Nuggets to win the Western Conference, still plus money, +155, or over 6.5 wide receivers at +140.
Wow, these are good ones. Whoever came up with these, did you come up with these?
I did not. Credit producer extraordinaire Justin Emery, who's filling in for Elliot, who, by the way, Elliot's coming back tomorrow, and he's going to be a sad Sally because he is a Purdue Boilermaker fan. So we're going to have to make sure that Michael brings the positive energy tomorrow.
Oh, boy, yeah.
We got to get Elliot in better spirits. But, yeah, Justin put these together, so he's crushing it. What do you got? What do you like?
He might even be sadder because Justin's doing a hell of a job. Justin might, Wally Pippen, yeah.
There we go.
I'll go with the receivers. I think there's enough need, especially with the Bills. I think the Bills pushes this over the top where, you know, some of those Texas guys I've heard, I think Bear was on my podcast the other day saying he heard the Texas guys go in the first round. Now the Bills need a receiver. There's just so many of these receivers out there. I think we get a seventh. Not that I don't think the Nuggets win, but the Nuggets, they're in a lock to get the one seed. And if you start talking about a two or three seed, they might not have home court in some of these series. So who knows? I do think both happen. I do think both are decent bets. I'll go with the receivers, though.
See, and I know we've joked about it with Michael a lot on this show that, like, oh, everybody loves a receiver. There's going to be 10 wide receivers that go in the first round. And, you know, maybe teams are reaching a little bit. But we have seen that wide receiver talent coming directly from the college level is one of the more translatable, like, skill sets. Like, a lot of these guys that are great in college end up being great in the pros, whereas a lot of other positions, we haven't seen that same translatable skill set. So I like where your head's at in that one. I think the Bills are a great point. Maybe even the Kansas City Chiefs, who weren't expected to, I mean, granted, their wide receiver room has troubles. They add Marquise Brown, but then the whole Rashee Rice thing, maybe you're more likely to take a wide receiver now. Let's stick with the theme of the conferences, though. Boston Celtics. Oh, this is actually to win the NBA championship. So Boston to win it all, which is crazy that we haven't even started the playoffs yet, and they're +190 to win an NBA title. Or J.J. McCarthy, draft position over 5.5.
Oh, I think I'll go with Boston.
That's a tough one, right?
I'll go Boston. I don't think McCarthy's going over 5.5. I think McCarthy's going under. So by process of elimination, I think I'd be surprised if so we're saying JJ's still going to be there at the sixth pick. I don't see that happening. Again, who knows what information's real and what's not. I'll go with the Celtics just because I do think there's a very good chance. I mean, how is Boston not in the finals? Who keeps them out of the finals? I guess you can say, hey, Lombardi's boy Embiid gets healthy and they knock him out. Maybe the Heat do their thing, but this should be basically a red carpet to the finals for Boston. So I'll go with Boston.
I agree. The road to the finals feels pretty signed, sealed, delivered for Boston, barring injuries. But I mean, I like the Nuggets a lot. Like, I think that they could be in repeat position here. But with JJ, I like that this is put in here, Justin, because we talked about it a lot yesterday. Like, I am not a JJ McCarthy believer, and I think it is a mistake for him to be a top five selection. So obviously I'm not going to bet what I think. It's what GMs think ultimately, sure, and what they're looking for in a lot of quarterback needy teams. But this is an interesting conversation to be had, because we've seen a lot of talk in the past about potential teams reaching for different quarterbacks. Like, if we listened to everything that we heard and believed last year, then Will Levis would have been a first round pick. Malik Willis would have been a top 10 selection, right? So you never really know until draft day. And that's why this is fun to kind of sweat out and learn from. But I do think that JJ is going to go 4 or 5, no matter how much it is just a bizarre concept to me. The Milwaukee Bucks +340 to win the Eastern Conference, although they've lost 6 of their last 7 and seem to be crashing and burning under Doc Rivers.
I'll take
now
the other one.
Malik Nabers to be the first non-quarterback off the board.
Oh, geez. Justin did a hell of a job with these. These are all very good. The Bucks are not winning
You have to go Nabers because there is, like, there has been a lot of talk from GMs and scouts that have Nabers as their top wide receiver off the board, right, not Marvin Harrison Jr., even though, like, obviously his odds are juiced to high heaven, -$5 and above to beat. But I think that if there was a market where you're getting a good plus money price for a guy that a lot of GMs think could be a better pro, I don't hate it.
Plus, there's always a chance of a data entry error. Like, when the Bucks have no chance of making the finals, at least there's a chance that, like, somebody even turns the pick in by mistake with Nabers. Well, the other one is just impossible. I can't see any scenario where the Bucks make the finals. That team stinks. I don't know. I mean, people probably paying attention to the NCAA tournament. They haven't noticed, but they've been losing every night to these terrible teams. That Doc Rivers experiment shockingly has not gone well here.
Well, so it started off a little bit slow, but you're like, okay, any transition period, that makes sense. They started kicking it into gear, and that's when you start getting the believers, like, okay, it's the Celtics and everybody else, but the Bucks are certainly going to be that next team that can really give them some competition. And now it just feels like no, like, zero trust, zero interest in backing anything Milwaukee. Next on the Lombardi Line, it's time for the first major championship of the PGA Tour season. Names worth a look at Augusta, plus one thing you have to try if you attend this bucket list event. We'll be right back. Get ready to tee off with a special Masters edition of VSiN's Long Shots. Coming up later on today at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, join VSiN experts Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin as they break down the field, analyze best bets, and uncover hidden long shots like the 50-1 ticket Wes cashed on the Houston Open. From the favorites to the dark horses, we'll give you the inside scoop on every player and their odds of taking home the green jacket. Whether you're a seasoned golf bettor or just getting into the game, our expert panel will provide insights and strategies to help you make more informed betting decisions. Don't miss out on this exclusive Masters coverage at vsin.com/masters. It'll also be available, by the way, after first air in the podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts, and at vsin.com. The three also combined to produce a free 30-page Masters betting primer. So everything you need over there, vsin.com/masters. It is the 88th edition of the Masters that is coming up beginning this Thursday. We're already seeing all the video come through of the practice rounds and guys out there at the range getting underway. All eyes on Tiger Woods, of course, as he's back. It's been a long time since we've seen him in action. Will, how excited do you get for this event? I think this is one of the better weeks in the sports calendar that you have the national championship followed right up on somebody getting awarded a green jacket.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. And by the time this ends, we're not that far from NFL draft, NBA playoffs start, and especially when you're in the East. That's when you know, hey, the weather's warmer. We finally have, like, a nice day today and yesterday where you can start to wear shorts. So it all kind of comes together. Playoffs, draft, Masters, warmer weather. The days are longer. The day stays lighter longer. So all the things kind of collide at the end. You know, when you're in school, it's like the end of the school year is almost near. So it's always just, there's good vibes. Fun time of year for sure.
I am very jealous. Our own Matt Brown, who we were just talking about, part of the Long Shots crew, he is going to be out there at Augusta this weekend. And there, so I'm curious your thoughts on this, because obviously the pricing at the concessions out there has stayed the same forever. Like, all these sandwiches are like $1.50, $2, beers $5. Meanwhile, we always joke when we go to Golden Knights games that it's $20 beer night. Like, it is, it's just so different from the majority of these major events. It's why everybody loves Costco, right? Because their hot dogs always stay the same price. If there was one thing, if there's only one thing on this menu that if you got the opportunity to go to the Masters that you had to have, what would it be?
I think I'd go with the, I've heard the peach ice cream sandwiches are quite the treat. So I think that's the direction I'd go. My sense is you're going to go for the alcohol here. Is that the direction you're going?
So it's very tough because there's a lot of things on here that I would like. I think, like, just to know what that peach ice cream sandwich would taste like, I'm very intrigued by, I'm very interested in, but I have heard nothing but glowing reviews for their famous azalea cocktail, and I absolutely have to know what it would be like. So if I ever get the opportunity to go to Augusta, somebody hook it up. Matt, I don't know what your inside scoop is, but I thought we were friends. We used to be co-hosts together. Hook it up, please. I would love to go. That would be it. Also, I don't know why everybody always dogs the pimento cheese sandwiches. Like, I don't think they look bad. I get that it's a very hot day, but they're kept cool. Like, everything is, you know, I love pimento cheese personally, and it's a staple out there in the South. So I would be very much so game to try that. Or maybe you get the chicken biscuit and then take the pimento cheese from the pimento sandwich and put it on that and have your own little creation. I'm an idea man, Will.
What's in the drink? Do we know?
I know it's vodka, and there's grenadine, and there's like pineapple juice and I think lemon juice in it.
If you knew the recipe, couldn't you just kind of make it on your own?
Don't you think that it would taste a little bit different if you're sitting out there standing by a green and Tiger Woods is about to put in something beautiful for Eagle? Wouldn't you like that? I would like that.
Yes, you're right. Good point.
It's a different feel, Will, okay? By the way, as we look to the odds for this thing, this year's field, 89 players with the top 50 in ties making that 36-hole cut. John Rahm, your defending champ, tied for the second shortest odds with Rory McIlroy at 11-1. Scottie Scheffler, uncontested world number one right now. It feels like him and everybody else in a lot of these events lately this season. The 2022 champion, he is the favorite right now at +450. And this has been getting bet and then not bet. I've seen it 4-1. I've seen it 5-1. Now +450 at DraftKings. So kind of all over the place at this point. Everyone else, though, 14-1 odds or longer. Xander Schauffele, even from this morning, bet down from 16-1 to 14-1. Any initial thoughts here in terms of the outright market, guys you like?
Is there a no price on Scheffler? I mean, you get to the point where 4-1, like, could you get a -550 on no, and you just get the rest of the field? I know most people don't want to lay like -500, -600, but 4-1 is such a crazy price that, you know, I wouldn't bet a lot on it, but the no would be interesting. But just guys that are interesting to me, Finau is one where he's got 3 top 10 finishes at Augusta. So you always look for guys that have course history, that are familiar with the course. Very rarely does somebody win. I think Fuzzy Zeller is the only person to win this tournament first time on the course. So somebody that's played here, that knows the course, that knows it well, that's done well on it. So Finau would be one with the 3 top 10 finishes and a real long shot, 175-1. How about Sergio Garcia? Lost in a playoff last week, so he's in good recent form. Played well on the LIV Tour last week, and he's won at this tournament. I know it's 2017, but at 175-1, I guess, you know, shop around, obviously. But some of these books, they hang some fat prices on this. So those are two that jumped out to me. Look, I, you know, Zalatoris is a guy that people like. He's played well on this course. So, you know, I really think if you're really serious about this, I'm sure Matt Brown and, you know, some of the other guys at our network who do this very seriously, they look at the matchups, because there's not that much of a hold with the matchups where you can really get at your handicap, say, hey, I want to back this guy, I want to fade this guy. Find a guy you like versus a guy you don't like and play him that way. So maybe that's a way to go about it. I don't know. Tiger to make the cut is right around a coin flip. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because he only has to beat, I think, like 39 guys. Can he generate enough for a couple of days where he can say, hey, I can at least make the cut? And then, you know, Saturday, Sunday, he's had a habit of just sort of falling apart. Well, Tiger's usually overvalued. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Tiger.
So that's what I was going to say. I am, when it comes to an event like this, I am one of those public people that likes to take whatever plus money you can get on Tiger to make the cut, because you just want to root for the guy. And also, like, he very well could be able to make it to the weekend because of his familiarity with the course, right? He's going for a record of 24 consecutive made cuts. We saw last time he was in the Masters, he just got there before he fell apart and crumbled. I think that he has the comfort level and that his body will be able to hold up enough early. I just wouldn't, like, anybody who is taking a shot on Tiger to get a six green jacket, I think, is taking crazy pills. But I know that, like, the public likes to do it. It's fun. They're always going to have Tiger liability because he is just one of those transcendent people in the sport. But if I bet any of these, like, if I had to pick one way or another, Tiger, even money, plus 105, plus 110 to make the cut versus the minus 135 for him to miss it, I would take the plus money on him to make it because I think that it's fun and we like rooting for Tiger to have success.
And he's got to beat 39 people.
And it's realistic. Yeah, I think it's realistic. I'm not just throwing that out there willy-nilly. I think it's a very real possibility.
89-man field, 12 players making their debut. So, you know, you wonder how many of them, you know, first time at Augusta can be tricky. Then you have the older players, which you figure he can beat them. So, I don't know. It's probably properly priced. This is, I believe, if he makes a cut, this is the record for most cuts made at Augusta. So, I don't know if that factors into it, where, again, maybe he can just generate enough for a couple days where he can get across the finish line, at least make the cut and feel some sort of accomplishment for that. Again, if you're taking him to win the tournament, I think that movie ended, well, it's hard to believe that's 5 years ago now that he actually won this tournament. I don't think that's happening again, obviously, but I don't know. I thought that was one was interesting. Have you been any outrights here?
No, but I am not yet. I'm definitely going to have action before things go. By the way, Thomas Gable, who joined us yesterday, he said that Victor Hovland was their largest liability out there in Atlantic City. 35-1, the price on Hovland right now. I'll find something. I need to continue to do a little bit more research before I sell myself on it. But I am interested to see if Scottie Scheffler might get out to a little bit of a slow start and we can get a better number on him in tournament. Because Plus 450, 4-1. You can't bet him. It's just not. But also, he's the best golfer in the world right now. And it used to feel like it was that top three with Scheffler, McIlroy, and Rahm. And now it just feels like Scheffler is elevated on this other plane by himself. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins again. We said he's already the 2022 champion very recently, had success here, knows what it takes. He's somebody that also can come back, which we've seen even this year on tour. So I'm kind of hopeful that he gets out to a slow start so we can get a better number.
Yeah, and it's just from a big picture perspective, it's nice to have the best golfers all in the same place because the sport feels so fractured where these guys are here, the other guys are there. It's just with Tiger and Phil getting older, we don't have – nobody's really replaced them with the star power. So it's nice to finally turn on the TV and just have all the best golfers in one spot. We know the course. We know it, you know, all the scenery with it. So it's fine. I don't know that golf's in a great position right now with how splintered, how fractured it is, but it's nice at least for a weekend to have it like this.
No question. All the stars on display. Scheffler again, plus 450 favorite to win it outright, plus 105 to be top five. He is $2 at the price to finish in the top 10 at the Masters. That's how good this guy is considered right now. We're going to hit the break here. We're wrapping things up when we come back. Because Will is not going to be on the show with us tomorrow, we needed to get Masters select. Maybe not. It's still TBT. We needed to get his picks today. I will have some selections by tomorrow for what I'm going to do here. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line. Stay with us. Fight Card is taking over Las Vegas for UFC 300, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app and use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. That's VSIN. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Wrapping up this Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings, Will Hill and Stormy Bonantoni with you on the heels of a national championship being crowned from the UConn Huskies last night, which we talked about at length. We now turn the page to it being Masters weekend and who might win a green jacket, Scottie Scheffler being the favorite there. And during the commercial break, our esteemed producer, Justin Emery, looked up the ingredients and the way to create the Azalea cocktail, Will. It is 1 1/4 ounce of vodka, 5 ounces of lemonade, 1/2 ounce of grenadine on ice, shaken or stirred with a lemon and cherry garnish. So if you are like me, you're going to be unfortunately not out there at Augusta National on the greens, soaking in every moment of the beauty and action that is the Masters, like Matt Brown, who didn't invite us or help us along at all, will, then you can sit on your couch and enjoy a cocktail that makes you feel like you're there.
Does that beat your patented vodka and Gatorade go-to drink?
Who, vodka Gatorade was not my drink, okay? That was my dad's drink. Thank you very much. And I started making that as a small child. I don't know if this is something I should say on the air or not, but I will, because this is just, you know, it's Tuesday and we're having fun today. I was a little kid and I'd be like, Dad, two shots or three? You're like, Gatorade playing bartender at the house. Don't even know what the hell's going on. But, I mean, it doesn't taste bad. Not that I tried it then. I'm just saying. Right. Vodka Gatorade's not bad. But this Azalea sounds like the way to go.
Yeah, I think so. But if it's that special, I mean, you could recreate it at home. And are you going to give it a go here?
I think I'm going to. I'm not going to be able to recreate the peach ice cream sandwich, unfortunately. But
Exactly.
You know, you win some, lose some, as they say. I think this will be good. While we're on these, I mean, obviously, I don't know about you, but Masters for me is a bucket list event. I would love to go. In terms of golf, I would also kill to go to the Waste Management. I just think it looks like a blast. Is there anything that's on your bucket list that, like, you really, really want to come through? Could be golf, but just like any of those major events that you'd like to be a spectator at?
Yeah, I've never been to a Super Bowl. I've heard people that go to a Super Bowl say, hey, you have to do it once. Now the commercials are long. No. Everything's longer. You're in the stands forever.
Oh, Super Bowl sounds like the worst. Super Bowl sounds like the worst, Will. Yes.
Just because you're sitting through it, but it's the Super Bowl. It's something like, hey, I've been to a Super Bowl. I don't know. That doesn't appeal to you at all?
Not in the slightest. And I mean, the Super Bowl was here in Las Vegas and my team played in it and I had absolutely zero interest in going. And it's the first Super Bowl to be hosted in my city that I was born and raised in. If there was ever a Super Bowl for me to go to, it was this one. And it sounded like a terrible idea. Not only like because I'm a fan of the team, the idea of being around people that aren't also on my side sounds terrible, right? But like, you have so much of those famous people, wine and cheese crowd. For one, the game is not tailored to the audience that's in the stadium. It's tailored to the millions of people that are watching outside of it. The halftime show concert is made for them. It's not made for you. The commercial breaks are it sounds so unfun to me that I would rather just watch the made for TV product on my couch.
Yeah, you got a pretty good life if you're able to just thumb your nose at these Super Bowls. I guess I don't have it as good as you. I guess that's what it comes down to.
Come on. There are cooler events to go to, I think, though.
What's the rest of your list look like?
I would love to go to Augusta. Like I said, Waste Management. I've been to a couple really cool events, fortunately, but I would like to at some point get to all of the New Year's Six games. Like, a Rose Bowl is very, very high on my list. I would kill to go to the Rose Bowl. I've done the Sugar Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl twice. So I've still got a few that I need to obviously work my way around, but like that would definitely be one.
I've heard you go down south for like an LSU football game on a Saturday, just with the tailgating, with the hospitality, that's just a once in a lifetime thing where you have to kind of do it. Now, again, I'm tongue in cheek a little bit, but you do have it pretty good where I know you're working, but you've at least got to, you've got to soak in the experience, the atmosphere of like, hey, being down south, like, this is it for them. This is an LSU game or a Bama game or whatever the case is, where
from a work perspective, I've been fortunate to do certain things. Like, I've been to the College World Series. I do the in-stadium emceeing for the national championships in college football. So like, I've got to go to a lot of stuff, but things that I haven't been and last year the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup and I went to game 5 when they raised the cup. And that was my first Stanley Cup like trophy experience. And that's probably my favorite thing that I've ever done. So if you have not been to a Stanley Cup final, highly, highly recommend. Like, it is an unbelievable experience and watch. But I've gotten sidetracked a little bit too much here. I feel like we need to make sure these last couple minutes we hit the people with some good betting content. And we were talking about some NFL season win totals, and you were eyeing the Green Bay Packers. Why?
Well, I think the two teams that are going to be everybody's darling, you're going to get a lot of people say, hey, you know who my Super Bowl sleeper is? Green Bay versus Houston. That's going to be everybody's two teams, because Houston, you know, they're the young team. They take a step up. Green Bay, same sort of thing. I just don't know. 10.5 wins for the Packers, that just seems like a lot. 10.5 is, that's the cream of the crop. It's very easy to not get 11 wins in the NFL. If you miss your quarterback for 2 or 3 weeks, you're probably not getting to 11. If you take a step back or have any sort of injuries to the rest of your team, it's hard to go 11-6. I know you get the extra game now. You've had it for a few years, but to me, that just seems like a lot of hype. That's still a good division. You get the Bears twice, the Vikings, see what they do at quarterback. That's a good roster. You get them twice, the Lions twice. So, look, I know they probably should have been in the NFC Championship game. They should have beaten the 49ers. They really let them off the hook. But I just think this is a little bit inflated to expect a team. I mean, it's rarely wrong to play a lot of these teams under, because you look at the team in the positive light and say, hey, this is their roster, this is their quarterback. But we know it's the NFL. We know all the injuries, especially this year or the past year with all the quarterbacks getting hurt. And if Love misses two or three games, which most quarterbacks miss a few games, it's hard to get 11. So I think this is a little bit of hype. So under 10.5 for Green Bay is one I like.
I think because of the success that like Green Bay and Houston had, all those numbers are just a lot higher than maybe they actually should be based on what we know about these teams. Although like Houston, credit them for all that they've been able to put together this offseason, continuing to build that roster up. But like, looking at the MVP market in terms of these numbers being shorter than they should be, CJ Stroud is 9-1 and Jordan Love's 12-1.
No, absolutely not.
Right?
Neither one. No, thank you.
Patrick Mahomes is 6-1. CJ Stroud is 9-1. Like, put wrap your mind around that.
I'm going to have a hard time. I'm sure I'm going to have some MVP bets, and we need it for content and just try to find somebody like they haven't made it easy to find value. I go back to that 3-year stretch where Mahomes won it his first year, like 80-1, and Lamar won it 75-1, and Rodgers won it like 30-1. These books are not going to just do this with betting becoming more talked about, more like widely available. They're just not going to hang 80-1 on any decent quarterback. And I'm still kind of bitter about my Brock Purdy. I think I had him 30-1. Could have hedged, could have just taken Baltimore plus 6.5 on Christmas night and could have middled it, could have done whatever. And he obviously, we know what happened on that game. So, still a little jaded after not getting my Purdy pick.
That game, again, as a 49ers fan, like made me so incredibly sick to my stomach. It's Christmas. I'm with the family. I'm watching my team. Your quarterback is a favorite for MVP. He's having an unbelievable season, leads the league in completion percentage and all these crazy stats. Throws four picks and just gets embarrassed by Baltimore in a game that, I mean, I personally expected could have been the Super Bowl. Like, I genuinely thought that, and that gave me a lot of anxiety. But it was a worst-case scenario in the Super Bowl, regardless of who the 49ers were gonna play, whether it was the Ravens or Chiefs, and so we already knew that. But the MVP market, I think, is interesting, though, with some of these players. And Aaron Rodgers, his number has come down significantly as well. He's 16-1 coming off of an Achilles. So I know we'll dive into this more throughout the offseason and as the entire year goes on, but where this market sits at right now is very peculiar in a number of spots.
Yeah, and remember, I mean, the end of the year last year, you could have gotten Lamar with like a month to go at 15-1. So there's no rush to bet this stuff. Sometimes we overreact to the first month, the first 2 months, where you can win this award late. There's a lasting impression. Well, there's a finishing strong, I guess, lasting impression element to this award where, you know, if you don't play well the last month, it's hard for them to give you this award. It's almost, you know, you just kind of fade the guys who are in the driver's seat going into the final months, and you could have gotten good numbers at Lamar. There's been past years where Mahomes came out of nowhere to win it. So you can get good numbers middle of the season, later in the season. Remember, Hurts was minus money to win this award like December, and then he didn't even come close.
Yeah, that boy did the Eagles season crash and burn at the end of this past year. Okay, so new Should Have Bet More episode dropping tomorrow. You and Matt Eumanns. When's the next gambling group chat? What else should people know about where to find your stuff?
Recording it now. So I think it'll drop either tonight or tomorrow morning. So going from one to the next.
Killing it. If you haven't already, make sure you download, subscribe to the Should Have Bet More podcast. Multiple episodes a week. Great guests, great insights with Will Hill. Fortunate enough to have you hang on and fill in Michael's seat for the last couple days, buddy. We appreciate you so much.
All right. Don't miss me too much tomorrow.
I'll try not to, although the seat, I mean, listen, you and Michael get on the text chain. Let him know what's up. We're gonna that's a wrap for us today. Sharp Money is coming up next with Patrick Maher and the crew. And remember, once again, we have that special edition of Long Shots coming up tonight. Give you all the information that you need to bet the Masters. Have a great day.